Well, my friends, it truly will be glory for those that are saved and living our lives for the Lord. And I tell you, I can't wait to get there. Hallelujah. You know, there's so many things in this whole world that we have that trouble us and cause us pain. And my friends, we won't have to deal with that there because there'll be no sin in heaven. And we thank the Lord for that. Well, if you have the Word of God, if you would take it and turn to the book of Acts with us this morning, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27, when you find your spot there, we're going to begin reading in verse 21 of that chapter. In verse 21, the Word of God states, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, the angel of God." I'll get it right here in just a second. My eyes are messing up on me today. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, after midnight, or about midnight, the shipment deemed that they drew near to some country." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come now before your throne of grace, Lord, it is my desire to see these folks, Lord, happy and excited and serving you. Lord, it is also my desire, Father, that when we come to the end of this service, we can know that we've been with you. And Father, that your Holy Spirit has worked through the midst of each one of us, that we can come to a point and a place where we realize that, Lord, there's sin in our lives and we can get that removed. But Father, just to know that even when there's brokenness in our life, Lord, that you're there and taking care of us. And so, Father, I pray today, if there one be lost today in this service, I ask God that you would lead them. Lord, lead them to that eternal Christ. Lead them to that eternal, precious, saving blood and help them to be saved. And Father, may they repent. Lord, may they walk away from those things that they are doing now in their lives that are against thee. And Father, help them to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Once again, Father, thank you for your goodness. Bless this lesson. Father, bless this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I ask you this morning if you would pray for me. I'm having trouble with my eyes today seeing and having trouble with my voice as well today. So I do apologize in advance, and we'll move right into the lesson here. I want to share with you today some things about facing life's storms. How many of y'all have ever been in a storm? Anybody? Well, if you've lived on this earth any time at all, you've been through a storm. But I wonder how many of y'all have been through some type of a spiritual storm. Anybody? You know, spiritual storms come and they go as well. But when we face a storm, whether it be a physical storm of the weather or whether it be a spiritual storm, you and I must face those in a way which God can be blessed and in a way where we trust in God and put all the faith in the Lord. And here we find in this story, according to our text, the ship upon which Paul and was a passenger here. Actually, he was you might say he was a captive audience because he was in captivity as a passenger on this ship, and he was caught in a violent storm. And we find that he had exercised his right as a Roman citizen. Not only was he a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so as a citizen of Rome, he wanted to go and make an appeal for Caesar so that maybe he could be released or continue doing the work of God that he had been doing. But now he had been preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ, and as he was doing this, there were those that brought some type of word against him. They brought charges against him that he was causing sedition, excuse me, in the land, and causing things to happen that should not be happening. And the Jews, they did not like this. And so because of that, they brought charges against him, and he became a prisoner. Now, Paul himself is a great missionary. He is going out and teaching and preaching to different cities, different countries, starting churches, planting churches wherever he could, going and leading other men in those churches that were already established to become the pastors in those churches. In fact, most of the letters in the New Testament are from Paul as he writes these to the churches and to the people there that are in Rome as well, and to the Christians. And so he's now been accused. He's now taken prisoner. They put him on this ship. And somewhere through this journey, there is going to be a shipwreck because of this great storm that God has caused out in this sea. And so as he's going along, and we know that he's trying to get to Caesar, Paul had prayed to God many times for him to be able to go to Rome. And the reason he wanted to go to Rome is because he wanted to lead those citizens in Rome to Jesus Christ also. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted to know that these people, not only of my homeland, but these people of which I am a citizen of, that hopefully and prayerfully I can go there and teach them about Jesus. God never allowed him to go there as a free man, but he did get to go there as a prisoner. And while he's on his journey to Rome, this is when this shipwreck happens. And we know that there in this shipwreck, there are things that happen later on in the shore. And the things that were going to happen, God had intended these things to happen already. We know the story of how that there are vipers that are there and in the fire, and they shake them off. And they worry about Paul because they think that Paul's going to die. And he says the Lord's going to take care of him. And I'm just paraphrasing in this story today so we can move along. But this passage today, it caused me to think about the storms that come to each of us in our lives. And the folks on board this ship with Paul, they could have avoided the storm, but they could have stayed there and not left and would have had safe harbor. But they didn't do that. Sometimes we get busy, don't we? We get so busy with life that there are things that the Lord leads us to wait on or to stop and maybe not even do. But because we are so gung-ho, I guess maybe you should say, we go ahead and do those things anyway. And those things bring trouble and trial sometimes to our life and bring us up on the rocks of life in a shipwreck ourselves. Now, God does never want us to be shipwrecked. He does never want us to be broken or harmed in this way. God really only wants us to be happy. He really only wants us to have joy and to praise Him and to lift Him up. And that's sometimes when I see people come into the church house and their faces are drawn down and their, you might say, their bottom jaw and lips are dragging the carpet, you know. We don't necessarily need the carpet cleaned by your jaw and your lip. You know, Trudy takes care of vacuuming the carpet for us. But when I see that, I think to myself, I say, wow, those people must really be hurting. And it bothers me because I know that God wants us to be happy. I know that God wants us to have joy in our lives, and the fact that we are going to heaven one day and the knowledge that that is true and that it is a fact, it brings blessings to my heart. And I wonder how many times are they thinking about that? Now, I know we all go through trouble. We all do face storms in our life. But we should be able to face those storms with a smile on our face because we trust in God and we know that God is there. When you face life storms, there are a few things that you must do. First of all, we must face those with confidence. Confidence in Jesus. Look at the Bible again there in chapter 27. Let's look over at verse 22. At verse 22, he says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Paul starts out here, and he says, basically in his statement to them, he says, "I have confidence in God. I know that He is here with us. I know that He's taking care of us, and we don't have to worry about anything because no life will be lost. You don't have to worry about dying in that sea. You don't have to worry about dying in the midst of this storm. If you'll just trust God, trust my word, and I can promise you that no life will be lost." But now the ship will be lost. And friends, in our lives, sometimes the things that we're trying our best to hold on to, they may wind up being lost because it could be those things that are causing your storm. It could be those things in your life that is stopping you from moving forward for the Lord. And God wants us to move forward for Him, not stay in one place and become stagnant. And I wonder today how many Christians in the church house have just sat still. They've quit doing anything for the Lord. They don't have confidence in God anymore to let God have the trust and the faith that He desires. And then we've just sat still and sat back and said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do anything else." You see, I wonder, have we lost our confidence? Have we lost our confidence in Jesus? Paul tells them to be of good cheer. And I realize sometimes it's hard to be of good cheer when you're at the bottom, you know. When you're the bottom feeder, it feels like. You know, we used to have an aquarium in our home, and we had fish that would swim through the water, you know. And then we had these things that were called bottom feeders. And they would be the ones that would be on the bottom of the aquarium, and they would eat that algae, you know, and some of them, they would stick to the glass on the aquarium and move up a little bit and eat the algae that was there. Well, maybe sometimes you feel like you're the bottom feeder. Maybe you feel like you're just feasting on the algae of life, if you will. And yet, my friends, you forget to trust in God and know that it's God, the one who gave you the algae to be able to feed on, you know. Have trust in God and make sure that that confidence is there and the understanding of that confidence is there. Now, you see, the reason for confidence in Jesus is because Jesus is Lord of all. He is Lord of the storms of life which come our way. The Bible itself presents Jesus as Lord of lords and King of kings. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. And by the way, my friends, He's also all-present. He's with us right here today in this building. You say, "Preacher, I don't see Jesus." Well, no, we don't see Jesus physically here because He's at the right hand of the Father. But while He's at the right hand of the Father, seated there, He is also able to be here with each one of us. That means that nothing that ever comes into our lives that God is not aware of and Jesus is not aware of. He taught us to anticipate the storms. You and I as Christians, we know we're going to go through a storm. And since we know that we're going to go through a storm, we need to make sure that we're ready for it. And the only way to be ready for it is to anticipate the storm when it comes. You know, the old weather people, they'll send out a warning maybe a day or two ahead of time, maybe even a week ahead of time, say, "Man, there's a snowstorm coming. And it's going to be the worst one we've ever seen. We're going to have 12 feet of snow." And then the storm gets here and we wind up having a half an inch or a dusting, you know. See, the weathermen don't know, but there is one that does know all about all the storms of life, all the physical storms and all the spiritual storms. And His name is Jesus. And He's right there in the midst of that storm. He's there, and God's Word teaches us He's there. But we know that He's there because we've anticipated Him being there, because we've already anticipated the storm. And no matter how great the storm may be, no matter how less that it may be, we find Him there. He's in the midst. I like that song that I think it's the McCameys used to sing, that He's in the midst of the fire. He is there with us, my friend. Those old Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when King Nebuchadnezzar came over and he looked into the furnace, what did he see? He didn't just see three men there in the fire. He saw four men dancing around the fire, and he said, "The fourth man is likened to the Son of God." Amen. That was none other than Jesus Christ. these storms come sometimes when things are going smoothly. In fact, that's when the devil attacks us mostly. It's when things are going really good. When it seems like things are just smoothing right along. And then here comes the old devil. Sometimes he'll knock on your door. And sometimes he's already broken into your spiritual house. And he's hiding in a corner somewhere waiting to jump out to tell you something. That there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. And I'm going to be there too. You see, friends, the devil's real. And the devil sometimes is the one who causes the storms in our life. And when we listen to the devil instead of listening to God, we make great mistakes. And then it's harder for us to get out of that storm. I was thinking yesterday about poor old Jonah. And thinking about Jonah and his trip to Nineveh. And y'all remember poor old Jonah and his trip, don't you? You remember what happened to him? He was in a storm, wasn't he? And there while he's in this storm, the men come on that ship and they're scared to death because the wind's blowing, the seas are tumultuous, and they're trying their best to figure out why this is happening to them. Because they've made this journey many times before and there's never been a storm that bad. And all of a sudden they go looking around trying to find people and ask them, are you the reason this storm is here? And guess what? They find Jonah laying on the side of the ship over there. And I kind of figure he's between the captain's quarters and maybe that side rail of the ship. And he's over there laying down. And the Bible says he is fast asleep. You know. He's sleeping like a little baby. He's as calm and he's as okay as he can be. Well, you know why? Because he had disobeyed God. You say disobeying God causes you to be calm? Well, no, that doesn't cause you to be calm. But Jonah had decided to do what he wanted to do. And because he did what he wanted to do, that caused a storm in his life. And that storm that came in his life was also a storm that came for those people on that ship. And they asked him, they said, well, who are you? And he says, I'm a Hebrew, and I believe God, and I trust God, and I know He's God. And I thought to myself when I was reading that and revisiting that story in Scripture, I thought to myself, how sad that is, because he turns to these men on the ship, and he says to them, I believe God, and I trust God, and then yet he has not trusted God, he's disobeyed God, he's walked away from God, and I wondered, now my friends, how many of us are just like that? We'll go somewhere and somebody will ask us, are you a Christian? And we'll say, we sure are. We love Jesus. We go to church on Sundays and we just love Jesus with all of our hearts. And then at the very same time you're saying that, you know you're living in sin at that very moment. And here, Jonah, he was living in sin and it caused a storm to come in his life and the life of these sailors. And so what does he do? Jonah decides, well, I guess, fellas, you're just going to have to toss me overboard. And they say, oh, no, we don't want to toss you overboard. We don't want to be the reason that God comes against us because we tossed you overboard. And Jonah says, yes, if you'll toss me overboard, I promise you that the winds will cease and the waves will calm down. And they say, okay. Jonah, if that's what you really want, if you think your God can take care of you, then here we go. Come here, men. And they grabbed him, a hold of him, and they did this little number with him, you know, 1, 2, 3, and threw him out into the sea. And what happened? Immediately, the wind stopped blowing. Immediately, the water calmed down. And I'll show you something else in this story, too. About God's provision. God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson about storms. He was also trying to teach him a lesson about obedience unto God. And the Bible says that God had already prepared a great fish to swallow him up. And that great fish swallows him up. I mean, it must have been a huge fish We know that some people say it was a whale. Scripture references it as a whale at times. And as he is in the mouth of that whale, and then he goes down as that whale goes, gulp, you know. I'm sure he had a ride like he had never seen at a theme park before. He's going down in the belly and the gullet of that thing, and he's going by fish bones and algae and all kinds of ugly stuff that was in there, and he gets in there and it's murky and it's stinky. And gets down in there in the midst of that belly. And he can't get out. He's trying his best. He's drowning. He can't get his breath because every time he kind of bobs up, you know, he bobs back down in the whale's belly and he gets stuff in his mouth and up his nose. How many of y'all ever been swimming before? Anybody? I'm not the best swimmer. I can swim underwater, but on top of the water, I have to doggy paddle, you know. And I can't doggy paddle very long because I'm not a dog, you know. And so when I go swimming sometimes, I remember the first time that I jump in that water, I'll come up and I'm blubbering everything out of every part of my face, you know. I kind of think that's probably what was going on with Jonah. But God intervenes, doesn't he? But he doesn't intervene until 3 days and three nights later. Referencing what would happen with Christ as he had gone down to the midst of the earth into hell and was there. God delivered Jonah, didn't he? He delivered him and he spit him out on the seashore. And poor old Jonah, I can just imagine him. I can just imagine how he looked when they spit him out, you know. You ever been chewing bubble gum or something and spit it out? It's icky looking, isn't it? Well, that's kind of probably the way Jonah looked. He probably looked pretty icky looking. And here Jonah is out there on the seashore, and he talks to God, and God reminds him, I told you to go down to Nineveh, and instead you decided to go to Tarshish. I'll teach you a lesson. You still go to Nineveh. And he said, when you go to Nineveh, he said, I want you to preach the word of God because their wickedness has come up before me. They were so wicked, and he told him to go and preach the word of God. Jonah does go this time, and great things happen. Many, many people get saved, and some of the wickedness goes away. It was a storm. It was a storm that he came into. A storm that he produced in his own life. You see, what I'm trying to say, dear friends, is sometimes God allows storms in our life, and sometimes we produce those storms in our life because we do not obey God. But whether we produce it or whether God allows it in our life, we still must have confidence in God that God will always come through for us as long as we turn our face back to God. Amen. We need to spend more time alone with God. You see, maybe the storms come in your life because you've not spent enough time alone with Him. You know, we'll spend time watching television, hours and hours of television watching. We'll spend hours and hours reading newspapers and reading books and things like this. Reading, you know, a lot of women sometimes they like to read these romances. I guess they don't have no romance in their life, and so they try to read them romances to get a little bit in, you know. Husbands, I'm sorry, you know, it's your fault. That's why they're doing that. You know, be a real man, be a husband to your wife, and wives, be a wife, to your husband. Love them. Show that love, and there'll be less trouble in your life. If you really believe it and have that love there, there will be less trouble. I'm not saying there's never going to be a bad day. I'm not saying you're never going to have an argument with your wife or your husband. Because it'll happen. You know, as I'm standing here today, I cannot stand here and tell you that Debbie and I have never had an argument. In fact, I can stand here and tell you that we've had many arguments, you know. And I always tell her that I win. So, no, I'm afraid to do that. She's always the winner. She knows that when we go into it. Woo, boy, knock down and drag out. No, we didn't knock each other down. She knocked me down. You see, we need to spend more time with Him. We need to acknowledge His presence and know that He's here with us. But when we get in our vehicles, when we leave this place, He's there with us as well. When we get to the home, after a while, He is in that house with us. When we go to the bathroom, He's in the house with us. When we go to the bed, He's in the house with us. He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, friend. He's always there. We just need to acknowledge that. But we also need to believe His promises. While we acknowledge Him, we need to believe what He's doing and what He has done and what He's told us He was going to do. And then I like this. We need to count our blessings. Amen. You know, because we have so many. You say, preacher, you know, the song says, count them one by one. I have so many, I can't count them one by one. I got to lump them up all in a group. You know, well, you got to count your blessings. You got to go back in your life and look and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust in God, because you know what? God took me through this last storm, and He'll get me through this one too. I was probably a little bruised and battered in that last storm, but He still got me through on the other side. And then this is something I think is quite interesting. We need to get rid of excess baggage. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, look with me in Scripture here to verse 28. Verse 28 of chapter 27, and it says, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. In other words, what they're doing is they're going to this water, and it keeps getting more shallow and more shallow and more shallow. And eventually what's going to happen is it crashes on the rocks there, and they have to get rid of the excess baggage that is there in the ship. Because they're trying to throw everything overboard that they can to make sure that it doesn't sink in the waves that's crashing over the ship. And that's when Paul tells them that you don't have to worry about your life, but you do have to worry about the ship. He told this to the captain. But you know, he was the captain of the ship. And what's that old saying? The captain must go down with the ship, you know. He was going to go down with the ship. He wasn't really worried about his own life. He was going to go down with it. Paul said, no, you don't have to worry about your life. None of these other men, women, y'all don't have to worry about your life, because God's going to save you. God's already told me that. They just didn't listen to him, did they? They didn't listen. Do you know that God has already told us that it is possible for us not to lose our lives? We might lose the ship. We might lose everything else. But I can tell you today that God has promised us that we could not lose our life. Now, how would that be, preacher? Well, it's by giving our life to Him. Amen. And if we give our life to Him, my friends, and be saved and repent of our sins, God says, one of these days you're going to get to live eternally in heaven with me. So we may lose all those other things, but I can guarantee you, my friend, that the things that we gain will be much greater than the things that we lost. And I will tell you something else, a little secret that might help you today. If God takes something away from you in this life, I promise you, He'll replace it with something better. Always. You talk about an assurance policy instead of an insurance policy. You have the assurance today that God is with you. And I know some of you in here have faced great battles, great storms in your life. And you were able to come through those storms. You were able to come through that battle and win and become victorious with God. And because of that, you ought to be praising the Lord today. You ought to lift up holy hands and praise God and thank Him for what He's done for you. Counting your blessings. Amen, brother. Amen. We ought to just lift Him up, not just here in the church house, but wherever we go, let people know. We were down in the nursing home yesterday, and I spent a little time after we got done talking to some of these folks and telling them some things in my life, and they shared some things about their life. Found out that one of them used to live over here in McConnellsburg. And what a blessing. What a blessing. You know, the storms that we go through. Sometimes it helps just to talk about that storm with someone else, a friend, a Christian. You know, don't go out and tell everybody, because you know what they're going to do then. They're going to stretch it and make it your fault. And it might be your fault, but you don't want the world knowing that, do you? You should only let Jesus know that you know it's your fault. Then you can obey God and do what God said. So the reason for confidence in Jesus, because He's there with us. And then I want you to know the reasonableness of the confidence in Jesus. Since Jesus is Lord of all, that even the storms must obey His name. It is reasonable today for us just to put ourselves with the Lord. Y'all remember many years ago, and I think I've used this analogy here before, but do you remember years ago there was a commercial out about Nest Tea? And there was this guy standing in front of a pool, and all of a sudden he just lays back and falls back into the pool. You know, that's exactly what God wants us to do with Him. He wants us just to trust Him. You know, if I ask Johnny to stand up right now, and Johnny, stand up. Come out here and face all the people out there. Yes, smile real big. Doesn't he have a pretty smile? Anyway. If I told Johnny right now just to trust me and fall backwards without catching him. No, brother. If I told him to do that, Johnny, would you do it?
maybe.
Okay. Well, see that. Go ahead and sit down. You see, that maybe is what happens to us as Christians. You see. Now, honestly, I would have did my best to catch him, and I hope he would know that. He probably doesn't. He might now, though. I would do my best to catch him. Any of you, I would do my best to do that. But I can tell you this, my friends, God is always there to catch us. And the problem is we wonder sometimes, and we say, well, maybe God will catch us. Maybe He won't. And that's where we wind up at. We just keep standing there, and our life never goes forward for God. We never do anything great for God, and the trust is moved away. You see, the reasonableness today of trusting the Lord and having confidence in Him is because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is there. Not maybe will catch us, but He will catch us every single time. So, trust in Him. Have confidence in Him. And then we also need, secondly today, to have a commitment to Jesus. Look at verse 23 of our text scripture this morning. He says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was there. He said, "I serve Jesus, and He was right here with me." Verse 24 said, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." The great promise was given to Paul as he is there in the midst of this sleep and this storm as it's brewing. And with commitment to Jesus, he says, "I belong to God. I'm just going to trust Him." And you need to trust Him. Friend, let me ask you a question today. Do you belong to God? Now, what I'm asking you is, if you departed this life right now, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would be with God in heaven the very next moment? You see, if you cannot say yes to that, that's the problem. And no wonder it's a maybe when it's trusting God. You see, God wants us to know for sure that we're saved. He wants us to know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. And in that surety that He gives unto us there, that confidence and that understanding that He gives unto us, then when we do get to heaven, what a great, splendorous time we'll have.
Amen.
You see, it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He shed it for us. That is the safety net, if you will. That precious blood of Jesus. And Paul testifies in other scriptures. He says, I belong to God. I belong to this Jesus. And that's why I serve, because I belong to Him. Paul's attitude was, I belong to Him, and that's why I serve Him. My friends, do you serve the Lord today? Young people, do you serve the Lord today? Do you belong to Him? You see, it's impossible for Jesus to be Lord and one not to be able to serve Him. And I wonder sometimes, and it really, I mean, it bothers me when people tell me they're Christians and they don't serve the Lord. And I ask God, I say, God, how can they be a Christian and not serve the Lord? Has somebody fooled them? Has the devil put the wool over their eyes? And that really bothers me. Because I want to reach them. I want them to understand that their heart should belong to Jesus. And if their heart belongs to Jesus, then they would be serving Jesus and loving Jesus and doing everything they could for Him. And honestly, the only answer I get back from God is, they're not mine. They're not mine. Friends, that's why I ask you today, do you belong to Jesus? Do you have confidence in Jesus? You see, we receive consolation from the promises of God. Because He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if we could ever just accept that fact, we would find such peace in our lives. We would be able to have the trust and the faith that God asks us for. You see, there's something else in this as well. You see, Paul had gained now assurance of his mission. Remember, I told you at the early part of this lesson that Paul had always wanted to go to Rome and preach there. He had a mission. And that mission, God was going to make sure that he did exactly what he wanted to do. Not the way he wanted it, though. Instead of going and being a free man, he wound up a prisoner under house arrest. But because he was a prisoner under house arrest, he got to preach to 10,000 strong guard called the Praetorian Guard. And he got to preach to them and lead many of them to the Lord. And the most interesting thing about that is those men had the ear of Caesar. So by teaching them and by leading them to the Lord, maybe they could go to Caesar and talk to Caesar and maybe not to let him go free, but to tell them about Jesus that he might get saved. Even in his darkest storm, Paul knew that he was going to die. Paul knew that he was not going to live much longer. And even in that darkest storm of his life, Paul says, my job is to lead people to you, Lord. I serve you. I belong to you. Friends, never lose sight of that. Because God loves you today. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you face life's storms, face them with Jesus. Don't try to face them alone. Face them with our God and our Savior. With everyone looking this way, I ask you a question today. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Could you let me know that today by raising your hand? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. God bless all. Now let me say this to you. If you were not able to do that a second or two ago, raise your hand testifying that you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, then you need to come to the altar today and ask Christ to save you. Repent of your sins and ask Him to come into your heart. And I promise you, He will not leave you at this altar without Him. You'll leave this altar with a renewed life, with a renewed joy, with a renewed happiness, with a renewed trust and faith if you'll just do that. Jesus loves you, friend. Now, I don't know what your need is today, but God will let you come to this altar as well, and you can then face those storms in your life. How about it? Everyone standing with your heads bowed and eyes closed today. That old song says, just as I am, without one plea. My friends, none of us have only anything but a plea to the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, protect me. Lord, save my family. Save my friends. Lord, don't let me die and go to hell. And friends, that's all we have. And when you come and you bring that to the Lord, and God answers that prayer and brings you close to Him and brings you to a point where you know you're on your way to heaven, my friends, there's nothing more beautiful than that. There's nothing more wonderful than that that could ever happen in your life. So I'm asking you today, if you are lost in this building, if you don't know that for sure, as Sister Heather comes and as Sister Elizabeth begins to play, I'm going to ask you today that you come to this altar and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And whatever other need that you might have, whatever storm that you might be going through, come to the altar and put confidence in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about it, Sister Heather? Grab your hymnals and look this way. That I resign to my sin. I will not do this sin anymore. I will live for you, Lord. Have you decided to do that? That old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what you got to do, friend. I've decided to follow Him. Don't get caught in the belly of the whale because you're running from the Lord. Get on the right track and go out and do for God. As we sing another stanza. Sorry, I know some of y'all put your books down. You never know what you're going to do around here.
Verse 3.
Page 666. Friends, what if we were all in a ship today and we got into a bad storm? Which one of you would be the one that stood up and said, God told me that He's going to save every one of you? Just trust God. Which one of you would do that? I would hope and pray that it would be all of you. But I'm afraid sometimes That strength is not our strength, but it should be. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, Lord, I say thank you for your goodness. Lord, we know we have you to depend upon, Lord, to put our confidence in. And so we ask you today, Father, that you would take charge. Lord, open up our hearts, Lord. It was so good, so refreshing, Father, to look out across the congregation, Lord, and see hands testifying that they were saved. They know they're on the way to heaven. But, Father, even then, Lord, we face storms. And sometimes we face them because they're our fault. And sometimes we face them, Lord, because, Lord, you're trying to make us stronger in our faith. And, Father, whatever the reason, Lord, I ask that you would help these, our dear members, Lord. Lord, the visitors that are here today, bless them. Encourage them and help them, Father, to again to put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, the next time we come through a storm, Lord, Father, may we be able to just go right through it, knowing that you're there with us. For Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. Amen. God bless y'all.